glad you're here this evening. Come together again to worship God. And we're going to look at something quite a bit different from what we talked about this morning. We're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now you begin reading it, 1 Samuel 17 and verse 1. It says, "Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle, and were gathered in Socho, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Socho and Azekah and the Ephes Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah. And they drew up the battle array against the Philistines. Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And the champion went out from the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath, from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head. He was armed with a coat of mail, and with weight of a coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. He had bronze armor on his legs, and bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spear had weighed 600 shekels, and his shield bearer went before him. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, 'Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourself, and let him come down to me. And if he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants. You shall serve us.'" And verse 10 then, "The Philistine said, 'I defy the armies of Israel. This day give me a man, and we will fight together.' And when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." Now, I read the whole thing to kind of set the stage for what we're talking about this evening. Of course, the background of this was the war between Israel and the Philistines. Now, if you know a little bit about Old Testament history, when God gave the promised land to the people of Israel, and Moses led them to the Jordan River, and then he died, and Joshua took over and went in and conquered the land. And God told the people before they went in, "When you go in, you completely destroy everyone that's there." He says, "Don't leave any of them alive. Completely destroy them. Because if you don't, they're going to be a problem for you for all time." And of course, the Philistines were descendant of some of the ones they did not destroy. And so just as God said through Moses and Joshua also, that they were a problem for Israel all the way up until time of King David here. And so King Saul and later King David. So the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 2 that Saul was chosen to be the king over Israel. And part of the reason was the Bible says he was a handsome man. And not only that, he stood head and shoulders above everyone else around him. I did a little research one time and found out about the average height of a soldier in Israel during that time was about 5'3" or 5'4". So Saul would have been well over 6 feet tall because he stood head and shoulders above everybody else. So he was very faithful to God. He lived in humility before God. And he even told God that, "I shouldn't be the one to be king. I don't deserve this great honor." And so Saul started out really good. And so Saul, by the time they were up against the Philistines and the giant Goliath was coming out every day to challenge them, no one would step up. Well, we find then that Saul was the one that should have stood up to Goliath because he was the biggest man around, but he didn't do it. It says there in verse 11, "They were dismayed and greatly afraid, including King Saul. If Saul had had the faith that David later had, he could have destroyed them, and he could have been destroyed their enemies. But he was unwilling to pay the price of true leadership. He did not have enough faith in God. Instead of being Israel's champion and standing for God, he offered a deal to someone. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 25 says, "So the men of Israel said, 'Have you seen this man who has come up?'" They're talking to David when he had come as a shepherd boy. "Surely he has come to defy Israel, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king, will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel." So Saul, the king, offered to anybody, any soldier in Israel, anyone in Israel, if they would come and stand up against Goliath, that he would give them all of these blessings and even exempt his family from taxes. Well, Goliath would come out each day, as we read there in chapter 17. He would come out and he would defy the people. He would call them out. And it says there in chapter 17, verse 4, "A champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span." Now, depending on whose measure you're talking about, that was over 9 feet tall. And the Bible does tell us at that time in Gath, there were descendants of others who had been called giants before. So he was unusually big even for them. And so he was the one that was sent out. And you read on down in what he said. It says, "If any of you Israelites want to come out and challenge me, if you kill me, then we'll be your servants. But if I kill him, then you'll be our servants." And so they wouldn't do it. They didn't go out. And notice he says in chapter 17 and in verse 10, he says, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man and we might fight together." So he was defying the people of Israel, but also to defy there meant that he was defying God himself. And that's where we run into David a little bit later on. In 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 45, he says, "Then David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin, and I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied.'" So that was David, and that's how he defied the Philistines and the giant Goliath in this showdown they had there. But we'll look at this. We know the story of David and Goliath and what happened eventually, and we'll talk about that some. But we'll look at what David exhibited here, not just the fact that he went out and killed the giant, but what he did and what kind of influence it had upon Israel and what kind of things we need to learn from this. First of all, we see the leadership of David. What was he? He was not the king. He was, at that time, just a shepherd boy. And he was the youngest in his family. And when Samuel the prophet came to anoint a new king for Israel, he got Jesse, his father, and says, "Call in your son." So he called in number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. None of them were there. And Samuel even had to ask, "Well, do you have any more sons?" He said, "Well, I've got one out there. His name's David, but he's just watching the sheep." He says, "Bring him in." And he anointed David. And the explanation that Samuel gave was that God did not look on the outside. He looked on the inside and the heart. And that's why David was chosen to be the next king of Israel. So he was just a shepherd boy, but what made him a great leader of Israel? It wasn't because he was anointed to be king later on, which he was, or that he became king, probably the greatest of all the kings of Israel. But it was his courage, first of all. Chapter 17 and verses 36 and 37. Chapter 17, verse 36 and 37. It says, "Your servant," this is David answering Saul, when Saul asks him, "How can you possibly go against him?" He says, "Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. I really suspect that when Saul said that, he didn't really believe anything was going to come of this, and he was sending David to his death, but he went through the motions anyway of having faith in God. But David said, I've killed a lion, I've killed a bear, and I can kill this Philistine. Even his own brothers did not believe in him. Chapter 17 and verse 46, when David came out looking for them, he was just supposed to check on them and bring them some food and other things. It says this: his brothers didn't want him to do this. But his brother said in verse 46, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. This is Goliath talking to David. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistine. No, I'm sorry, I've got it backwards. This is David talking to Goliath. He says, the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air, the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. So even David's brothers told him, don't go. But David said to Goliath, I'm going to destroy you today, not because of me, but because of the God of Israel, because you have defied that God. Well, Saul was impressed that David would be willing to do that, probably relieved that somebody besides himself was going to do this, and probably a little bit challenged to think that there was somebody foolish enough to go out and stand against this giant. And so it wasn't one of the great fighters or warriors of Saul's army. It was just an ordinary shepherd boy that was taking care of his sheep and brought some supplies to his brother. But David was no match to Goliath's size and strength. And we all know that. And today, even today, people that don't know much about the Bible or anything about the Bible understand when you say David versus Goliath. They know what that represents. So as far as human concern thought was, David was no match for Goliath. But David knew what was really important. And that's why he was the greatest leader of the time in Israel. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 15. The Lord says there, fear not, neither be dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Now that was not David and Goliath there, but the principle is the same. Don't fear. I'm sure in a human sense, David was afraid to go out and do this. But he knew that God would be with him. Now notice that God did not promise David, if you'll go out and stand and fight against him, I'll deliver you. God didn't tell him that. But God gave him the strength of character and faith that he was willing to do it. So David exemplified that attitude. Another thing that made David a great leader of Israel was he took the initiative. He didn't wait around until someone else tried to step up. And then after he got killed and maybe two or three others, he decided, well, maybe it's my turn. He didn't. David volunteered first. He couldn't be a leader without being willing to take the lead. And that's what he did. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 29. 1 Samuel 17, verse 29. It says, And David said, what have I done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first ones did. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. So David said, I can do this. I can take Saul. I can destroy him because of the God of heaven. Verse 32 says, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and will fight with this Philistine. Now again, I kind of have the idea that by this time, Saul was probably didn't have a whole lot of faith that David was going to come out of this alive. Even David's brothers told him, don't do it, and other people who were around him. And it was the same kind of situation for the Israelites. You go all the way back to when they first came out of Egyptian slavery. They went to Mount Sinai and got the law, and then God sent them directly up to the land of Canaan. They were there within less than 2 years' time of coming out of the land of Egypt. And God told Moses to send 12 spies into the land and spy it out, one from each tribe of Israel. And 10 of them came back and said, yes, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a beautiful place, but they have walled cities, and the people are giants there, and we're like grasshoppers in their sight, and we can't possibly go in and take the land. Well, Joshua and Caleb came back and said, not only can we take the land, Caleb said, let us go up and take the land, for we're well able to overcome it. Well, that was the attitude of Joshua and Caleb. And you can imagine and understand, well, there's only two people over the age of 20 years old that came out of Egypt that went into the promised land. It was Joshua and Caleb, because they were like David. Or David was like them, I guess, since he lived later. But he had faith. Saul gave him the wrong accessories to do battle. And look at 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 38. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. And David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. In all likelihood, Saul's armor was a lot bigger than what David needed. So, because I can't even walk around in these things. So he didn't do that. But David did know what was needed. Chapter 17 and verse 39. Verse 40. He says, Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 small stones from the brook, and he put them in the shepherd's bag in a pouch that he had with his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Now David seemingly was an expert with the sling. I've tried to use one of those things and never been able to get it to work right. But David knew how to do it, and so he got 5 smooth stones from the riverbed. And so that was his warfare against this giant with a huge sword and spear and all of the armor that he had. But we look down in chapter 17, verse 45. It says, Then David said to the Philistine, You come out to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hands. Now, that's exactly what happened. Now, it took faith in God to step forward to do that, because obviously David was not nearly as powerful and strong as Saul or Goliath was. And so the king, Saul, wanted him to go, but he gave him the wrong things to take with him. And then David acted upon his faith, because God was going to be with him, and he had faith that God would deliver him. But what was the result of David's leadership? Well, he was blessed for it. 1 Samuel 17, verse 48 says, So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistines. Notice David didn't just kind of ease out there and kind of saunter out there a little bit. He ran out to meet Goliath. And it says in verse 49 that David put his hand in the bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of his sheath, and killed him and cut off his head. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road to Shearim, even as far as Gath and Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their tents. So that was the result of what David did. And David led them, and of course, once they saw David's courage and what he had done, they attacked, and God gave them a great victory. Now look in chapter 18 and verse 6. He says, "Now it happened as they were coming home when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women had come out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet Saul with the tambourines with joy and with musical instruments. So the women sang as they danced and said, 'Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s.' And Saul was very angry, and the saying displeased him. And he said to David, 10,000s to me, and they have ascribed only thousands. Now what more can he have of the kingdom?' So Saul eyed David from that day forward." So this was the day that not only did God give Israel a victory over the Philistines, but also he gave David the victory over Saul. Because it says, one writer says, "His victory thrilled the nation. He became at once the king's son-in-law, commander of the armies, and the nation's most popular hero." But the Bible says Saul kept an eye on David from that day forward. And Saul was cursed from that day forward, and David was blessed. Well, God chose David over Saul. In Acts 13, verse 22, the writer there says, "I have found David," he's quoting from the Old Testament, "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who shall do all of my will." Well, David's fame and everything went, here we are talking about him today, 3,000 years or so later. But for Saul, look in chapter 18. Chapter 18 of 1 Samuel, beginning at verse 8. "Then Saul was very angry, and the saying displeased him. And he said, 'They have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed only thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom?' So Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it happened on the next day that the distressing spirit from God came upon Saul. And he prophesied inside the house. So David played the music with his hand, as at other times. And there was a spear in Saul's hand, and Saul cast the spear, for he said, 'I will pin David to the wall.' But David escaped from his presence. Now Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul." So we see the complete change in what was brought about by David, by his strength, his faith, his character, and of course, his willingness to serve God. So what does this mean for us? Well, first of all, we need to take David as an example in our life, to be courageous in everyday life, and meaning to live a Christian life, to set an example for others to the best of our ability. Yes, we're going to fall short. David did too when he was the king on many occasions, but he repented and came back to God, and he was called a man after God's own heart. 2 Chronicles chapter 19 and 11 says, "Deal courageously, and the Lord will be with the good." Now we look over in Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, there was persecution that had begun after the church had started. And Peter and John and James and others were taken, and they were beaten and put into prison and threatened to be put to death for the cause of Christ. And they were let go. In chapter 4, verse 29, the church came together when Peter and John and others came back to them. It says there, "Now they prayed, 'Now, Lord, look on their hearts, look on their threats, and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, that the signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus.' And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak the word with God with boldness. Notice they did not pray to be delivered from persecution. They prayed to have strength and faith and courage and boldness to preach the word, and they did that. They didn't back up from the persecution. They didn't back down. But they had courage to do that. Well, Mark 16, Jesus told the apostles before he ascended back to heaven, he said, "Go and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that disbelieves shall be condemned." Now, Jesus had already told them several times, when you do that, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be taken before councils. You'll be beaten. You'll be in prison and maybe even put to death. But do it and I'll be with you. And it required courage on their part. Also, sometimes in our lives as Christians, maybe we may be the only one that can do what needs to be done. And we can't wait for someone else to take the initiative. David took the initiative in his time when nobody else would. And so we have to be willing to pray and ask for strength and for help and faith to be strengthened in doing what God wants us to do. And we have to have a willingness to do so, and God will bless us. In James 4:17, it says, "To him that knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." So if we know to do good and we don't take the initiative to do good, then that becomes sin, just as if we do something wrong. But also, we need to act by faith. That's what David did. Someone said one time, nothing great ever really happens without faith being involved. And that certainly was the case here with David. We turn over for a moment to Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, and we begin reading there in chapter 11, verse 32. And of course, the whole chapter of Hebrews chapter 11 is talking about faith and what people did because of their faith and what faith motivated them in doing. Verse 32. He says, "What more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, and also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became vigilant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that we should not be made perfect apart from us." Now he says there, think about what all of these people did, and they didn't receive the promise that we receive in Christ, forgiveness and eternal life. Now they had it promised to them in the future, but they died not having received it yet. We can receive it now by our faith and obedience. James chapter 2, verse 18 says, "Show me your faith apart from your works, and I by my works will show you my faith." Faith is something, not just something we believe, but something we demonstrate by our action every day we live. And 1 John 5, 4, it says, "This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." David demonstrated that when he went up against Goliath. But we have an opportunity every day to do the same, to believe him, to obey him, and follow what God commands. This evening, if you need to respond to the invitation of the Lord, won't you come as we stand, as we sing.